Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Pure Happy Healthy. I'm your host, Leandra Haupt, model, entrepreneur, coach, and hypnotherapist. And I'm here to bring you more mindfulness in all areas of your life. Each week, I'll have a different focus on my show. Mindful Me, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master Sessions. Thank you so much for being here and showing up to become the best version of yourself possible. Today I'm chatting with Chiara Townley. She lives in Portland, Oregon with her husband and her little son. And she has a crazy, inspiring love story on how she got there, because originally she's from Italy and she just followed her inner voice of love and therefore married the love of her life. But she will tell you about it more in our conversation. Besides that, she had some problems in her path of life, which she overcame by finding spirituality and with some different forms of healing, which she now practices to help other people to get over their issues and problems. And it's connected to chakra work, to Ayurveda, tarot card reading. And she will talk more about it in our interview and get clear on what the chakras are and what they stand for and how we can remove blockages here. So now, without further ado, let's start this beautiful conversation. And one little note before we get started, sometimes the internet connection was not really stable, so I'm already excusing if there are some disruption sounds in between, and I hope you enjoy it anyways. So today I got beautiful Chiara in the interview with me today. So hi and welcome to Pure Happy Healthy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, before we get started into the conversation, I would like to know, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
So I usually have yogurt and granola. I live in the US, so I never got into that kind of more savory breakfast with eggs and bacon and things like that. I still like the Italian sweet breakfast.
No bagels with cream cheese?
Nope.
So would you like to explain for the listeners and tell them a little bit, who is Chiara and what are you currently working on?
Okay, so I was born in Italy and I lived there until after university. And then I moved to London. And in London, kind of my life changed because I met my husband. And it was like a life-changing moment for me because I was working in a hotel at the time. And when I saw him, I heard this voice, I don't know what you want to call it, but inside my head had said, you're gonna marry this guy. And so for me it was just really powerful, and I followed that voice throughout all our difficult relationship, because he's American, so there were a lot of challenges. And then there were times we weren't together, we broke up at a certain point, but that voice was still very powerful in my mind, and I decided to follow it, fight for our love against all odds. And in the end, we got married. We got married in San Francisco in 2014. We lived in San Francisco for 3 years, and we saved money because we wanted to travel the world. So we, after 3 years in San Francisco, we traveled the world for 6 months. And when we came back, we didn't know where we wanted to move. We made kind of one of the lists of like, you know, the cities and what they have that fits our personality. And so we ended up in Portland. We moved to Portland 4 years ago, and we had a baby last year. So he is 1 year right now, 1 year old. And I suffered at the beginning of this year, I suffered from postpartum depression and anxiety. So it was a really difficult time for me. And I used spirituality to get out of it and heal myself. And after this experience, I kind of transformed my challenges into a spiritual business where I now help people remove energetic blockages and align with their soul's path. So that's kind of like a very quick recap of my story.
Wow, such an interesting and inspiring story. It's so beautiful. I love that you said that from his voice, there was something that told you you will marry this man and then you went for it. So can you take us back to that moment? Like, what was that voice like, or what gave you the courage to believe in that voice?
I think it was the first time that, you know, this is, I call them kind of messages that come from a deeper source that can be, if you want to label it, it can be your higher self, it can be your spirit guides, it can be your angels. So the difference between this type of voice is that you don't think about it actively. You know, our mind always goes from thought to thought, and so you're aware that you're thinking something. But these are kind of things that happen internally and they come to you suddenly. So you're not thinking about anything. My mind was empty when I saw him. I was doing my job, you know, I was doing the check-in for his parents, because actually his parents were the guests of the hotel and he was just helping them with the bags. So I wasn't thinking anything, I was working. And so that's when you can recognize that it's a message that you need to pay attention. And usually when you receive this type of messages, you can't stop thinking about it. There's something, I remember when he left, I kept on thinking about this voice. I was like, what was that? You know, it was really weird. You know, it never happened to me before. So it has like some power to it and you just can't stop thinking about it. So I remember that night I went to a dinner and the chef of the hotel prepared dinner for me every night. And I talked to him and I remember telling him, you know, I just heard his voice. I don't know how to explain this, but he said I would marry this guy. I don't know anything about him. And I think I discovered after a couple of days, like looking at the register, that he was American. So even then, you know, I was like, okay, well, he lives on the other side of the world. How am I supposed to make it happen? But still, you know, I really trusted that voice. And I've always trusted my intuition, my instinct. So I'm used to that. I think for some people, it can be something that take them by surprise, but maybe they're not used to pay attention to, you know, following their heart or their intuition. They're probably more rational. And it may not happen that you pay attention to it or you consider it as powerful as I did, but I bet you do, because it's just something so special. It doesn't happen many times in a lifetime. So you're going to have to pay attention, I think.
Do you think there is a way to learn it? When people say now, I have never had that voice, like it never came to me. Do you think there is some tools, or how can we connect with that voice?
So I think that the key to connecting with this voice is to find space between the thoughts. So meditation obviously is a great tool, because when you're not thinking, you know, internally you can receive these messages in different ways. It can be like an image that comes to you. Obviously you don't see it visually, you know, with your eyes. It's not something you experience with your senses, it's internal. So it can be like a voice, like it happened to me, like an image or something. Or a feeling, you know, a strong feeling, you tap into something that is bigger than yourself. And the more you meditate, the more you create the space between the thought, the more you can connect with this source, or again, spirit guides, angels. I personally believe that we come to this earth and we have these guides that are with us and protect us, and we can talk to them in this way. So there's nothing supernatural about the process. Many people think that, you know, because we watch in movies, we see these psychics who see ghosts and do weird things, right? But we all have this channel because we all come from the same source. So we can all connect to it. And so I think that the key is creating space between the thoughts, and you can do it also if you don't want to meditate. You can do it in every activity that you do in your everyday life. you can just focus on what you're doing, like even something simple like you're washing dishes. While you're washing dishes, try not to think, focus on the activity that you're doing, on feeling the water on your hands, you know. And if something happens in that moment where you're not thinking and you receive something, then it's important and you have to pay attention. And the other key thing is being open to receive. And you can say it out loud, you can say it in your mind, I'm open. I'm open to receive whatever message you need to give him, to give me, I'm here. And I'm open. So I think these are like the key things that you need to do. And then you have to be patient and then be disciplined. Like as you keep on opening this channel, obviously it's going to open up more and more. So you need to meditate to more. And the more you do it, it's like a muscle, right? Like you have to exercise. And so it's the same thing. You'll open up this channel more if you're disciplined and also if you're patient, because in the end, you're not going to receive messages every day. It's not something that you can expect. Like you go into a meditation session and you expect to receive a message. It doesn't work that way. Although, you know, you might expect it because it happened already, but you need to be patient. You know, these things don't happen many times in a lifetime, but you know, you can communicate more and more with your guides in this way.
I'm glad you brought up that it's actually not something that is from like a scary movie or super woo-woo, but actually very explainable and a very natural thing that every person can happen and experience. Because if you hear that for the first time, let's say, then it maybe sounds so strange. Oh, there was that voice. But I think it's sometimes it can be as easy as you're standing in the shower and suddenly a crazy thought hits you and you're like, that's it. That's the thought I was basically looking for, or that tells you the answer to your question or a decision. Or maybe it's a dream, in a dream that was very strong and vivid and just tells you the right decision or whatever you maybe were even asking for. So then taking that serious and listen to this message is the key, I think. And so some people may expect that it's something supernatural and actually like that guy sitting up on the cloud with a beard looking like the God in the Bible then speaking to us. But I'm glad you explained that it doesn't need to be like this. As for your story, you said that your relationship turned out to be super beautiful, but also had a lot of struggles. So did that voice continuously stick with you through the time and kept on giving you advice about that relationship, so to make it work?
That's interesting. I would say no, in a sense that things were going really bad at a certain point, you know, because we were broke up and he started to date someone else. So there wasn't any suggestion, any specific suggestion on how to make it work. I didn't hear that voice again. I think that I went on to believe in it, you know, and there was just like something that it doesn't mean that I was believing in it and not doing anything about it. I was still, you know, taking certain actions, but it was more about that voice was kind of this unique moment that said the most important thing, that was the outcome. Like, you're gonna marry this guy, you know? And yeah, I started to just kind of pay attention to certain synchronicities and things, because even when we were separated, it's interesting. There were moments where I felt that there was like a conversation going on. Like, you know, I would go on his profile on social media and see something that, you know, it was not direct, but it was meant for me. And then I knew what it would come out. I had feelings when I think he's thinking about me. And so now I would go online and see that he had posted something that maybe was about us. So there were magical instances like that throughout the relationship. But I think that voice was that faith that I still had when things were going in the wrong direction. I remember, you know, like my friends at a certain point were telling me they were worried about me, because I was really in a dark moment where I would just see him going on, moving on with his life, dating this other person, essentially stalking him online, because I would just, you know, just hurting myself seeing the photos with this woman. And my friends were worried about me because they thought I was honestly just going crazy or getting depressed. And I repeated that message of the voice. And I said, but that voice said that I would marry him. And I believe it. And you know, it happened in the end. So I don't necessarily mean that everybody should stalk, you know, online or do things like that. Obviously, it was a really dark time for me. But what I'm trying to say is that when you trust something that is so powerful, you can't be wrong. And you can, you know, do things to follow that voice. But no, I wouldn't say I received other messages. That's an interesting question. No, that was the only one. It was enough.
But that makes it even more powerful, because I love your story so much, because I think in our times at the moment, especially in the big cities, the dating is so fast paced through dating apps like Tinder, etc., that it's so fast forward and so exchangeable. That people don't really put an effort anymore into staying with one person and then making it work, and then also trusting that maybe it needs some work to even evolve, and they don't even go to that point. So this initial voice was already giving you the courage and the motivation to stick with it, because you knew that this would be your reality. And I think that is missing for a lot of people, this belief that it can work out, even though it is like it's with a lot of struggles, or it is a difficult time. In terms of relationship, what would you say to someone who doesn't have that voice but is looking for that big love or that beautiful relationship, that partner, to make it work? Is there any way how we can get evolved more and stay with a person without getting lost in that fast-paced game?
I think that what you said is very important, because there's the fourth, you're right, we live in a society where everything is so fast. It's like you go on a date and you're like, oh, I didn't like what he did in that moment, so I think, you know, he's not for me. And you know, sometimes it's right, but yeah, I agree with you, this fast pace is dangerous, because yeah, many people are just into it. And they don't listen to their heart. They are not used to listen to this intuition. So I would say for me, it was a second chance that I gave him, you know. So I would say that second chances are not bad, you know. So if you go on a date and maybe, you know, there's something that he or she does that you don't like, but give it a second time, you know, like don't make decisions immediately. And, you know, yeah, I believe in second chances. For us, it was a big second chance. There was a lot of, obviously being persistent was very important, because, you know, love is not enough. Even when you're in love, persistence is very important, just believing in the relationship. And then I guess once you get into the relationship, in the reality of it, and it's not just a fairy tale, like I think that the strong part of our relationship with my husband is that we are different. We have like very important common values, which I think obviously are important, you know, but we're also very different. For example, I'm a very spiritual person. And he is like, he's a Capricorn, so I don't know, you know, but astrologically, Capricorn is a nerve sign, so he's very grounded. He keeps me grounded because I live, you know, above the clouds a lot, so I need someone who keeps me grounded. And so that difference is actually very important in the relationship, because it allows us both to grow in the relationship. So I think that growth, and accepting the fact that something different is not necessarily something bad for the relationship is actually a way to grow. So keep in mind this idea of growth. Compromise, as I said, you know, like needing, you know, half points. I think communication is the other huge part, you know, like it's so important to tell your partner how you're feeling. If you have doubts, if you have insecurities, just open yourself up, because that's also going back to growth. That's the only way to grow.
Yeah, so wonderful. I'm a Capricorn, by the way. So grounded. Amazing Capricorns.
they are amazing.
Yeah, very down to earth. I would say that's very true. Even though I'm very spiritual as well, but that's because of my Pisces moon. So that's a good combination. But you were saying something. You were saying something which I'm often wondering about. If one partner is very spiritual and then and very interested in personal development and growth, and the other one is maybe less interested in that, or maybe a change is happening to that one person. So maybe like with you, that you, because of your depression and anxiety, you turned very spiritual. How can we deal with that in a relationship when suddenly one partner changes, or maybe when we start to date and one person is very spiritual already and on that path of self-development, but the other person doesn't really have the interest? Do you think that can work, or what can we do in order to stay together, even though we're so different despite that?
I think that's a very good question. I think that what you were saying about, you know, Capricorn, you're spiritual, and all signs obviously they can be spiritual, but in different ways. So let's say my husband is spiritual, but in a way that is different than mine. So it's not that when he meditates, he thinks he is connecting with a source or his spirit guides. He doesn't, but he meditates a lot. So I think it all comes down to the idea of what spirituality is. And for me, it's the fall of the illusion of separation. So once you understand that we are connected as humans and we are connected to the planet and everything around us, and there's something that you don't have to name it, you don't have to label it, it doesn't have to be God, it can be the universe, whatever, but there's something bigger. That's when you become spiritual. So I think there is a misconception sometimes about what spirituality is. It's not religion, you know, it doesn't have to be. Yeah, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. So my husband and I are both spiritual, but in different ways. So I think that as long as there is respect for each other's views and willingness to listen and communication, as I said before, even if he's not into what I'm into, he's always happy to listen to me. And that is very important, because then you keep the door open. Doesn't mean that he's going to start to, you know, see spirituality in the way I see it, but there's an opening, you know. It's not like if someone says, no, you know what, I don't believe in that, so I just don't want to hear about it. That creates a wall, you know. So I think that you can be different, but when there is that sense of communication and wanting to listen to each other and learning from each other, then you're good. You know, you just need these elements in the relationship that are very important though.
Yeah, you were already saying in your explanation about yourself that you turned into a spiritual person and now also work in that field. So would you like to explain a little bit what your work is about? How do you help people?
Yeah, so for me, I've been, you know, reading about spirituality for a long time, and especially the chakra system. So I don't know if your listeners are familiar with it, but the idea is that beyond our body, there is like an energy field, and these seven centers are the core part of this energy field. So they start from the base of the spine, they go to the top of the head, and they correspond to different parts of the body and areas of our life. And so I read a lot about it, but I never, I guess, put it in practice in my life. And when I had postpartum depression and anxiety, I started to like really listen to my body. And I was wondering, what is my body telling me? And so what I realized is that I had some kind of like pressure on my heart. And knowing the chakra system, I knew that the fourth chakra is about love, compassion, and self-love. And so I realized that, how could I possibly love my son and feel a connection with him if I didn't love myself? Because the moment I started to think that I wouldn't be a good mom, that I would do something stupid, that I wasn't ready for it, you kind of start to see yourself as a bad person. Once you start to see yourself as a bad person, you lose love for yourself. And when you don't love yourself, you can love anybody else. So in the same way, I just couldn't connect with my son, but it started, the problem was with the love for myself. And so I realized that anxiety has specific roots, so that it comes from different moments in our history that can be traumas or can be, you know, specific blockages. So then I started to really get into energetic blockages, and to heal, I used visualization and positive affirmations, but related to that specific problem of love. Since I knew that I had lost love for myself, I would repeat to myself that I love myself, you know, like every day, repeating these affirmations about love, having thoughts about love, reconnecting with that idea of love. And I healed, because these energetic blockages is all there is, really. Like, I believe that sometimes, yeah, they become so big that they affect the physical body. So you don't know at a certain point, maybe if you start to completely lose the love for yourself, then you get a heartache. Or, you know, a heart attack or something like that. So they can affect the physical body. But if you start to, you know, listen to your body before that happens, you can heal. And so from there, I decided that I wanted to just apply all the knowledge that I've gathered throughout the years, through books and meeting spiritual teachers who had a big impact on me, and help other people. So the basic concept of my practice is remove energetic blockages and help people align with their soul's path. So what I do is I ask my clients to fill out a form where I ask specific questions that are related to the chakras, so that I start to have a bigger picture of what chakras can be blocked. And then we talk for an hour, and during that hour, I kind of ask, you know, questions to clarify certain things and really connect with the person, like with my intuition too. And then I take some time to work on a plan for the person that can help this person heal. So all the things that I use, like visualization, positive affirmations, and other tools, are based on that specific person. So these plans are tailored to that specific person, their history, their personality, so they can't be applied to everybody. And I follow my intuition for, you know, the things that my guide suggests for this person. So that's kind of the main part, is like an analysis of the chakra system of the person, where the blockages are, how to heal the blockages. And then I do a little paragraph about astrology and Ayurveda, but not in depth, like, because I believe that the elements that we have, the water, fire, earth, and air, are important to understand a lot about our personality. So I kind of, I'm not an expert in astrology, but I, you know, I can kind of look at the general traits of your personality and start to see which one are the elements that you're missing, you know. And Ayurveda does the same, because the three profiles of Ayurveda are also connected to the four elements. And so I kind of give you an idea of how these elements are affecting your personality and what you can do to find more balance. And then finally, I do two tarot readings. So I use the tarot to understand your soul's path. So the first reading is general wisdom. So I don't ask the client what they want to know. I simply ask my guides, what should I tell this person in this moment of their life? What do they need to know? And then the last reading is about the soul, and it's about the lesson that this person needs to learn in this lifetime. So I believe that we come to this earth to learn specific lessons that we kind of decide beforehand, like spiritual contracts, that is based on what we learn in previous lifetimes. So there are big lessons that, you know, I ask the tarot to reveal. And so I put all together in a written document so that the person has the tools to heal themselves. So I believe in self-healing. Then obviously I can offer, you know, if the person wants to talk to me again, you know, and have an accountability partner and help further, I can do that. But the idea is to offer you a plan in written form that you can go back to, and you have all the tools to heal yourself. Now you have to do the work.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree that it's so important to know that you can heal yourself, because every suffering comes from yourself, is in yourself, and therefore you have the power to heal it. So I like that you have that approach. Can you maybe take us through all the chakras and tell a little bit about them, what they stand for, and yeah, what color they have and what's happening there?
Yeah, of course. So there are seven centers, as I said, from the base of the spine to the top of the head. So the base of the spine is our basic needs, so our sense of safety and security. So when, for example, there are traumas that happen in the first years of our life, that we feel threatened, we feel a sense of danger, that chakra gets blocked immediately. Then as we go into the sacral chakra, is located in the intestine. It's our emotional center, is about relationships and power dynamics in relationships. And things like sexual assault, for example, sexual things that happen, that are connected to violence, usually block that center. And then as we go into the stomach area, it's the solar plexus, and it's our willpower and our sense of identity. So, you know, if you don't know what you want in your life, if you're confused about who you are, then, you know, that's the area that gets affected. The heart, as I said before, is about love, compassion, self-love. So it's about expanding that sense of relationships to a bigger level, to a love for unconditional love, you know, for your partner, your family, and your neighbor, the world, you know, so it expands that idea of love. Then the fifth chakra is about, is in the throat, and it's about self-expression and communication. So if you, you know, have issues expressing yourself, if, you know, like we were talking about before in the couple, there's no communication, that's the one that gets blocked. Then there is the sixth, that is the third eye, it's located in the forehead, and it's your connection with your intuition, what we were talking about before. That's the one you activate when you meditate. And then there is the last one, the seventh chakra, is the connection with something bigger. So when you start to believe in something bigger, whatever, spirit guides, source, universe, God, and you connect with that part of yourself that connects you with something bigger, that's the seventh chakra. So it's the kind of the more spiritual one. So these chakras develop at different stages in our life from the moment we were born, and they get blocked in these moments, as I said, especially if we had traumas, like big traumas, like abandonment or violence, sexual violence, the lower chakras get really blocked. And then obviously when the energy gets blocked so low in the chakras, it can go up. So when you have big blockages in the lower chakras, you have to work to release them. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard for you to tap into your intuition in the sixth, because the energies are not allowed to flow. But chakras can get blocked at any point in life. We actually all have like one or more chakras that are blocked. So the work I do is to try to really dig into your chakra system and give you tools that are tailored to you to unblock these blockages. And once you do that, you can truly heal. And obviously, if you know that there's a chakra that gets blocked really often, you can pay more attention to it. You can keep practices. You can keep on doing the things that are in the plan, you know, to keep it clear. And, you know, I can then, you know, in follow-ups and things like that, I can talk about techniques to just keep the chakras clean and, you know, just keep your balance, because that's the most important thing. When you feel connected with the earth below your feet and the heaven above, you're balanced.
Mm.
That's the most important thing that we all have to cultivate, possibly on a daily basis, but, you know, often.
So if we, for example, feel pain or maybe a tingly sensation, let's say at the throat, is that a sign that the chakra is maybe out of balance?
Yeah, of course. Like when we have physical pain, it's always a big, big signal that that chakra is blocked. But you can do if you're self-aware of what's going on in your life, for example, right now, I feel that as a collective, our fifth chakra is blocked. Why? Because it's very hard to communicate. We are very divided as people. And this energy that is collective, is affecting all of us at like a personal level. So it may not be that your fifth chakra is is your weak chakra and it gets blocked often. But with this collective energy, it's affected, you know. So some like collective energy affects our chakras too. You can have definitely like a sensation, trust your intuition that something is blocked. You can have like a physical pain or something that bothers you in your throat, a sore throat. But you can look also at the bigger picture, at what's going on in the collective, because that affects it too. So that's what kind of I can help you see, like a more professional level. But I think if you're a person who's self-aware, and you have like kind of a spiritual connection, you are able to kind of see the bigger picture and start to see what's affecting that specific chakra.
So I would like to move on to some quick fire questions. So you just give me your quick reply. And as you have a really good intuition, I know they will come fast. What can we do for more self-love?
I think that the best thing we can do is close the eyes, breathe, and send love to ourselves, and from ourselves to expand it to our partner, our family, our neighbor, our city, and get to the whole world and to the like all beings. And we can do it with light. It's usually like a really great visualization that we can use. We can send light. Can send light and love to ourselves and kind of see ourselves bathed in light. Same thing, we send it to the people close to us and then to all the planet.
So beautiful. What's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish is the lasagna that my mom makes, and I hope that I can go see her visit in Italy for Christmas so I can go eat that.
Fingers crossed. Sounds delicious. What can we do for a better health today?
Better health? I think that taking time to remember to breathe, it's always very important, especially in times like this. So we're very stressed out seeing what's going on in the world. Even if you're not into meditation, I think that the most important thing you can do for yourself is to stop what you're doing, especially if you get anxious, stressed, and just reconnect with your breath. I think it's kind of an evergreen practice that you can always use to just, once you reconnect with your breath, it's kind of like the true part of yourself, because we tend to identify with many things, you know, like our job and our relationship and our emotions, but the best thing we can do is reconnect with our essence, and the breath can help us do that.
What's your favorite place on earth?
My favorite place on earth, it's Bali. I visited Bali and it's such a magical place. I didn't know before getting that. I thought it became like very commercial and too many tourists. But still, even with all the tourists, just kept this like wonderful spiritual atmosphere, and people are just so nice, and it's just full of love, and people respect each other, and they don't understand what we make, like we cause wars based on religion. Like, it's just like they live in harmony with nature. It's just like such a magical place. I hope I can go back soon.
Yeah, my favorite place on earth is Bali as well. I've been there a lot of times already, and I can completely relate to what you just said, because it's so magical, and actually it's one of the chakra points on earth. So it's a very spiritual, very energetic center of the earth. And I think, like, I feel it, and I think everyone can feel it. I think you cannot go there without feeling this amazing energy, even if you wouldn't consider yourself as spiritual. And that's what makes Bali so special. And I thought like you, I thought it's like that tourist trap place with horrible kind of tourism, but it was, blew my mind. It was more than I ever would have expected. So yeah, I hope I can go soon as well. As my brother actually lives on Bali, so I want to visit him as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
awesome.
And see him. Yeah. Was there any book or movie or podcast that was a game changer for you?
Oh my God, wow, so many books. I recently read A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, and I would recommend it to everybody because I think it's a more subtle introduction to spirituality. So that's a really good one. And then if you kind of want to see the things in common between religions and see that we are, you know, there are things that are more similar than you think. Anatomy of the Spirit by Caroline Meess was like a big changer for me. It introduced me to the chakra system, but it also made me realize that the different religions in the world have so many things in common. And so it gives you this idea again of the bigger picture, and that's kind of what I always look for.
Yeah, I'm actually just started A New Earth as well, and Eckhart Tolle has amazing books, so it's such a good one. Is there anything else that we didn't get to talk about which you would like to share with the audience?
No, I think it was a really great conversation. We touched so many points. No, and nothing specific I can think of.
I'm glad to hear this. So thank you so much for this beautiful conversation and all the knowledge that you shared here. I will link to you in the show notes. Where is the best place to connect? Is it through Instagram or Facebook or your website?
People can go on my website, and then you can find also the link to my social media. So it's my name, Chiara, B like Bravo, Townley, all one word. And then, you can find all the information there.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much, and I hope to keep connected with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.